Marinucci, I'm going to disappear for 1 second. I'll be right back, but Dr. Marinucci and I have discussed this over the weekend, so please feel free to jump in, Dr. Marinucci.
You want the call? You got it.
You still with us? Can she?
So there's going to be a delay with Dr. Marinucci just because of her internet connection. So
thank you.
She'll respond.
Okay.
It's just going to be delayed.
So what
you,
you're
Ms.
seeing right now is the Excel spreadsheet.
On the chair.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
We all, other than the speaker, are going to have to mute. Because the other conversations
Sorry.
That are going
okay,
on in the background
okay. I'm catching up now. Okay, so what you're able to see is the web funding report. What I basically did is I took our web funding report that we Okay, I think everyone else is muted now. So what you see is the top part, I added in the number of students enrolled and the number of units earned for this year, as well as going up to FY 26, or 25, I'm sorry. And what you can see is that next year we're projecting 369 students, and then from then forward, we're projecting 410 students. That would be, and we might go over that slightly. We have the ability to be 5% over, so we can actually go up to closer to 430 students, and next year it would be closer to 400 students, but this gives you a picture of what our money does as our enrollment changes. So the charter transportation, I didn't pull out into a separate line item. I left it where it is because that amount is then embedded into the operations dollars. That's I did get from the Department of Education a spreadsheet where we can project what our actual operations amount as well as what our local amount will be. So that's where these numbers come from. These numbers are based on many formulas that are in a state Department of Education workbook that was used. So you can see that I took out the a number of different funding lines that we actually have and we will likely have. But I wanted to show the board where we would be should we be at the bare minimum amount of money. So what you can see is you can see the operations amount changes. And then Ms. Postles, if you can scroll down a little bit, what you'll also see is that the local funds also changes. So the local, yep, there you go, thank you. Line 30 shows the local funds. So those are the two places that things will change, mostly based on our change of enrollment. What you also can see is I didn't put in any of the other local funds. I pretty much just put in the food service. I left that static at 100,000, even though that will go up. And then the other line items below local funds, I just took them out because what we have now is probably going to be very similar to what we have as the years continue on. Obviously, we're looking for more donations. We're looking for more fundraising. But if we just leave those out, then it's easier to compare apples to apples. And if you can scroll down a little bit more again, what you can also see is that our federal funds, I removed any carryover of funds. So if you look down, there's no last year funds included. So we are truly basing this budget on each year at a time. And that shows you the federal funds that we'll receive. I also did not change the title funds. So Title II, Title IV, Title I, as well as IDEA, none of those changed. I use this year's numbers for everything. As our student enrollment goes up, those numbers will go up. So again, I'm showing you the absolute bare bones, worst case scenario. And then if you can scroll down a little bit more, Ms. Postals, what you can see is the operating budget description. So you can see that the salaries do go up, and that accounts for the additional staff that we'll have because of the additional students. The utilities we left fairly similar. The facility lease number, I'll talk about in just a second. The transportation number we left pretty much the same. We likely will receive more in transportation. The amount we spend in transportation will also likely change, but just for comparison purposes, we left that the same. And then food service, because I put in there that we were receiving $100,000, I just put that we were spending $100,000, so that's a zero-sum game comparison. The textbooks, instructional supplies, and building maintenance, as well as a lot of our other expenses, are actually going to be even lower in what's coming out of our operations and local funds portion because of the grant funds that we've received for the expansion grant. We're able to buy the textbooks and instructional supplies out of there. So a lot of what we were spending this year, that's actually coming out of grant funds. Note also that the $750,000 grant and all the CARES money is not included in what we're talking about. So that's additional money as well. What you can see that I think you'll probably notice right away is in column D, the remaining amount is only $162,542. When you know that when we're talking about the contingency and the reserve, we're closer to $1 million. Nearly $800,000 in our contingency and another $100,000 in our reserve. So again, I'm showing you worst case scenario, even on our current year, and then years coming. So each year coming, you can see the carryover and the amount remaining. So that amount remaining will continue to grow over time, even with the rent for the new space. So let's talk about let me stop there. Does anyone have any questions about this? Okay. Debbie, can you go to the unit count over time tab? And then we'll go to the, and then we'll pull up after that, we're going to pull up the lease addendum.
Yeah, I think somebody did have a question, Dr. Marinucci.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Ms. Postles, I think that was Dr. Fletcher saying he didn't have a question.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Okay. Thank you.
Is there a question? Okay. Okay, so we've been tracking, and one of the things that I like to do is actually track our unit count over time. And I like to track it based on the number of students applying to our school. And I actually, I started last year keeping a spreadsheet of the students as they apply, just so that I know that when we're in the month of February, is this kind of where we were last year? Does this seem normal? So, and we're right on par. Actually, we're probably a little higher on our kindergarten numbers than we were last year at this time. And that's going to be our biggest area of growth moving forward because we've really filled the other grades so well. So we've got... we've had a flurry of activity in the office with parents enrolling their children. So they're basically getting a call or an email from us saying that they've been selected for choice and they're in enrolling. So we've had a number of students already enroll, which is awesome. And we're looking just to be in front again on how this is happening. One of the things that we figured out last year is parents just go with their first, like whoever calls them first. So we made sure that the morning after the school choice ended, we were calling them. And it's worked out well. So what you can see here is you can see the FY21, FY22, and then FY23 and forward. And you can see the number of students in each of the different funding categories. And that really matters because the students, whether they're in the kindergarten to third grade, general ed side or special ed side, or if they're in the fourth grade and up, and then if they're a student with a disability, whether they're classified as basic, intensive, or complex, they all earn at a different rate, which means that our funding comes differently from them. So knowing where our students are classified in each of these areas is really helpful. What I did is I just rolled them up. So you can see for next year, they just rolled up one category. So the 56 kindergartners rolled up into 56 first graders, the 48 first graders rolled up into 48 second graders, and so on. And then what you also can see is I did keep the basic, intensive, and complex total, which is shown on line 14. I kept that the same because that's a pretty solid, that's a pretty good estimate of what our special ed numbers will look like. I don't know how many kindergartners will come in that might have special needs, but I will tell you that we're right on par with the numbers, and I don't anticipate that changing significantly. So it seemed like a pretty good idea just to keep that where it was. And then for FY23 and forward, again, keeping that same trend where I didn't change the basic, intensive, and complex. The more kids that are in that category, the more we will earn, both on the local and on the operations side. So I don't see us going below where we are. I see us going above where we are. So I wanted to keep us at a lower base to start with. This gives you the picture of how we came up with that. In addition, Debbie, if you can go ahead and pull up that lease addendum. In addition, I reached out to Mr. Stolzfus, the owner of the property, on Saturday morning, and I talked to him.
We may have lost her.
Yeah, I think
Hello. You did. Yeah.
She's coming back on,
okay.
I think.
Hold on.
Okay, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Good?
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, can you hear me? Sorry.
We got you, I promise.
Okay, my screen keeps going in and out. And I'm not
that wasn't you. That wasn't you.
Oh, okay.
My whole screen went away.
I just want to make sure I'm hearing everything and not missing anything.
I have Dr. Marinucci on the phone on speakerphone.
Is Michelle back on?
Are you able to hear me?
It looks like she is. And
can you hear me?
The addendum that I shared?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You can hear me now? Can she hear me? No?
I don't think so.
Okay. Hold on. Are you unmuted? Oh, it's coming back.
Unmuted? Oh, it's coming back.
It's working now.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay, bye. All right, I was trying to do it through Miss Hudson's cell phone, but clearly that wasn't working. I apologize. Are you able to hear me now?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. can you hear me?
Yes. Hey, I can hear you.
Can you put me on speaker? Can you put me on speaker?
Yeah, just a second. Let me turn off my earbuds.
Thank you.
Okay, is everyone
able to hear me?
Yes.
To hear me now?
Okay, are you able to hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. I think so. I'm seeing some shaking heads.
Let me.
You're cutting out, Michelle.
Okay, this has got to be the worst it's ever been for my connection. I am so sorry.
Now, the least addendum,
I was able to talk to Mr. Stolzfus, and what he agreed to do is adjust this lease addendum further. So he's going to keep us at the first year rate for 3 years. You can hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. Hello?
We're okay.
No, I mean, she's gone out.
She's gone out. Her connection is really bad.
Until she comes back in, I can tell you guys. So the original addendum included a 3% increase annually, but he's agreed to forego the 3% increase for 3 years until our 11th and 8th grade get up to speed.
I was looking at that when she first came. I'm glad you explained that. Because I'm like 15 years with a 3% cost of living on top of that first 3 years, the first 3 years monthly amount. Yeah, I'm glad you went up. So he has agreed to do Are we there?
He's agreed to... Michelle, you can hear me. Shake your head. Okay. He has agreed, the owner has agreed to not do the cost of living 3% increase. What he's agreed to do is not do that for the first 3 years. So we will pay that lower amount for 3 years with no adjustment made. After that, it's going to be a 2% cost of living upgrade.
Why is the COLA necessary for him?
Especially now.
Yeah, why is the COLA necessary?
I think he's just looking at in a normal a normal professional commercial lease agreement. I believe that's a pretty standard piece.
This is Bev. Why don't we negotiate that when we get to normal? Right now is no time to know when normal is going to happen.
Right.
Well, I think that's why he's foregoing the 3 years,
and I can,
Mark.
He did agree to not change the amount for 3 years. He understands, and he's not the same owner that we had been dealing with prior. So he's been a very reasonable person to talk to and to work with. He's so been very not, responsive as well.
This is not Henry.
And
this is not Henry Mast.
No, this is not. They split up. This is okay. John Stolzfus.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, a completely different personality, too. He's been very helpful. So he's come back into the current academy, and he's done all kinds of repairs. We have now fixed the water problem that we had in the cafeteria. He's gone through and like anything that has not worked, he's fixed it extremely quickly. So he is definitely in the game. He comes over and he checks on the school. He makes sure everything is good. And he's been extremely responsive. I actually have his cell phone number. So if there's anything wrong, I'm able to reach out directly to him and talk to him about it. And then he gets right on it.
Michelle, are we just strictly dealing with this John Stolfus?
Yes. Yes. Henry Mast and John Stolzfus no longer have a partnership.
Okay.
And Henry divested this property to John.
So that's why if you look at Yes, they split up, and what happened was Mast kept certain properties and John Stolzfus got others. And we are fortunate, I would say, that John Stolzfus received the academy and we received him. And not that's why fortunate. It says, if you look at the top in green, it says Dover.
We're not only fortunate, it's a godsend because Henry would have bled us dry.
Agreed. Yeah, he's been phenomenal. And that's why they're now called Dover School LLC instead of the Stolzfus Mast Partnership.
Okay. Thank you.
So I have a question. Absolutely. I'm Dr. Marinucci. Is it standard for that cost of living adjustment? Is that standard for, you know, other schools? I guess I'm sure you've done your homework, but I guess I just wanted to know.
No.
So the challenge is that there aren't that many other schools that have rental property. Most public schools don't rent. They're part of the state process. So there are not that many other schools to check into. And so I was able to do some asking of questions on how does it normally work? And pretty much the answer I received was, each school that's renting a space does their own kind of way of doing it, but the cost of living increase is more standard on a commercial lease.
Does it have a clause in it that says that it's dependent totally upon our funding?
There is not a clause. Like, you're seeing the entirety of the lease addendum. This is actually not the final one. I was hoping to have the final one received back, but Donna in the office and I went back and forth a little bit because the original lease addendum said the amount of square footage we were receiving, and I wanted that put back into this lease addendum. And then they changed it to 2%. In number two, where they say 15 years with a 2%, it says 2% cost of living increase annually. But what I wanted it to do was a carve out that there was no increase over the first 3 years. So there's a couple of typographical changes happening in the actual one that we would be signing.
I would be comfortable supporting this agreement if it had a contingency clause saying that this is all contingent upon funding, because without that we can't pay.
Right.
Well, that's the reason why
Beverly, that Dr. Marinucci just gave us those operational calls and those local calls that we just looked at for each grade, how it's going to look, and she projected what we would look like, I thought you said, 2024.
Oh, I saw all that, and I appreciate that. My only concern is that I don't care what kind of entity you are, whether you're private for profit, private nonprofit, a school, a charter school, if you have a contract based on you having to pay in the future, and your money comes in year by year, there should be a contingency clause in there to protect you.
I don't know if that would be something, though, that would stand in terms of there being a contingency for us. Because I think that opens us up to exposure of his ability to even provide, you know, or to hold up his end of the bargain. Like, what, you know, what negotiation would he want? Like, say, you know, he has financial troubles and then wants to increase it because he needs more money. Like, I mean, I don't know if we want, you know, to open up that door. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
The contingency clauses that I'm aware of only provide the owner with the knowledge that you only have access to money year by year, and that you can promise money up in that year and the coming year because you have been awarded the grant, but you do not have the ability to promise money that doesn't exist yet.
Right. And I definitely understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And we've done that, like the state has done that, because it's a budgetary issue. But I think the issue we got into with Mosaica is the state kind of saw us as a quasi-private, quasi-public. And so when we made the argument that, you know, we didn't have the funds, and the Chancery Court said, nope, you have a contract, you got to pay it.
Because you didn't have a contingency clause right in there. Yeah, that's my whole point.
Yes, my issue is, I don't know if that's something we'd have to ask him about, because I don't know if he would.
I think it's worth posing to him, because the reality is that if everything, if after next year, for some reason, all funding stopped because federal education money stopped, then we would not be able to pay him. And he knows that. So we're not actually asking him to do anything that he doesn't already know about.
Well, maybe can we add a clause in there that says that the contract is subject to modification, like this contract can be modified, or, you know, upon the party's agreement, mutual agreement, or something like that?
I like that.
Yeah, we could. And just to answer another question, the 3-5% annual increase is considered fair in most commercial real estate markets. That one we'd have a hard time.
Right. I agree with you. I agree.
But he has brought that down to 2% for us.
After putting a freeze on the years, the first years.
Right.
So that one I would be okay with. The contingency clause, we'd have to figure out how to negotiate that in.
So I can tell you he wants to work with us. He wants to see us be successful. Obviously, it's in his best interest as well. In order for us to go forward with the 7th and 8th grade, we definitely need that additional space to be there.
Absolutely, but let's just pose the question to him, you know, and tell him, you know, we are only saying what you know to be the truth if funding were for some ungodly reasons to stop. And see what he says. At least we've posed the question.
Now, this is $6,000 for the first year, plus what we already have on our other building. Am I correct?
Yes.
So that's
a total of... Yes, this is for the new building.
Right. So right now, we would be responsible for paying... What is the total, Dr. Marinucci? Per...
It's about 50... It would be about $56,000 a month.
Okay.
But that's with the added space, though.
Yes, yes.
And that's a reasonable amount, although it sounds like a huge amount of money. That is a very current rate. I mean, that is what, if we were to look for a different space, we would be looking at spending that same kind of money.
If not more.
Correct.
Wrong business.
So we have on our Zoom account, we have a limited Zoom account, and it's saying we have less than 1 minute on this meeting. So I might need to resend you a link for another meeting, just in case it does really kick us off. It's not kicked us, we didn't have this limit on the education, because we're in education, but I it looks like Zoom might have removed that.
So then, can we then agree to vote on accepting this with the caveat that Dr. Marinucci continues to negotiate for the contingency clause? Is the board okay with that?
I'm okay with it if we will.
Mr. Boynton, are you there?
All set.
Well, I'm back.
I think we're all back.
All right, excellent. All right, we'll go back on the record. Just to fill in Dr. E, we were discussing the proposed rental addendum and the proposed construction that our new owner is committing to for the expansion to the 7th and 8th grade. Dr. Marinucci shared with us that in lieu of a 3-year stop on the 3% increase in the annual 3% increase, the owner will commit to a 2% after 3 years to see where we are financially. Mrs. Williams has asked that we propose a contingency clause in the new rental, the addendum, stating that if there is no funding available at any given year, that we will be able to withdraw from the agreement without any legal penalty. So I propose that we vote on is that we allow Michelle to move forward with the negotiations and the approval of the lease addendum and the attempt to put the contingency clause into the agreement.
Thank you.
No problem. So in essence, we're going to stop the 3% increase for 3 years, and then when the increase does take place, it will only be a 2% increase. All right, so do I hear let me just make sure, Dr. Marinucci, you were done with the explanation, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes, thank you.
No problem. All right, so I'll now entertain a motion to allow Dr. Marinucci to move forward.
So moved. So moved.
All right, perfect. It's been moved by Ms. Williams. Do I hear a second? Seconded by Mrs. Robinson. She's muted, but I can see her.
Seconded.
I can read lips, so I think she's seconded. All right, that we allow Dr. Marinucci. Do we have a, I think we have a point of information, Mr. Plumps. Question on the motion?
It is a question because I understand your request to move for her to be able to move forward. I guess with also the question to ask him, you know, whether or not there could be a contingency clause, but I guess what happens in the event she's not able to do that?
Like, she'd have to get back to us.
Right, because
this is the only permission to ask.
Yeah. Just okay. To move forward with the negotiations. Yeah, only because we as the board would have to sign the lease agreement anyway. So it's going to have to come back to us for not necessarily for vote, but for execution. So we could discuss it again at that point.
Okay.
Yeah. So all in favor?
Aye.
All right. No opposition, Dr. Fletcher?
Yes, aye. I was unmuting.
Gotcha. All right. Excellent. So the... we can move forward, Dr. Marinucci, with negotiating the addendum and determining whether or not we can get that contingency clause into the agreement. When we hear back from the landowner, from the building owner,
okay.
I'll make sure I inform the entire board of where we are and determine what next steps are as soon as possible. Alrighty. I think that because this was a special meeting, that was the only item we are legally allowed to discuss until our next board meeting, since we So in terms of a timeline, let me just verify. If, because we're going to ask about the contingency, given the fact that this is something that we're just asking about that he does not have to agree to, the issue is the timeline. So, you know, my theory is that if he doesn't agree to it and we do have a time that, say, we aren't solvent, we would probably at that point, there's not going to be any liability on any of the board members, but we probably at that point be able to dissolve the lease anyway. Thoughts? I mean, if we don't have any funding from the state.
Without that contingency clause, I don't think it's going to be as easy as you think it may be.
No, I understand. Our commitment is certainly one to pay the teachers. We're gonna have to really push for this. We just have a timeline issue with the construction because I know he wants to move forward with the construction as soon as possible. So, Dr. Marinucci, can you and I get on a call with him tomorrow morning?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, perfect. So we'll set up that call and we'll try to get this moving forward as quickly as we can. But, you know, just keep in mind that's something he...
Can you hear me? I'm saying... Yes. Sorry.
We heard you. I was just going to say, just keep in mind this is something that... This is a negotiation on our part.
Okay.
If he doesn't agree to it, we got to figure something else out pretty quickly.
Camille, my question is that we don't have any lack of funding clause in the existing lease.
Exactly, right. This would be in the addendum only.
So and so if to put one in for the addendum, I'm fine to put my arms around it. But that's probably what he said. Hey, we don't have that in the other one. I mean, right. if this charter school goes under, we have specific statements as to what we would do to make sure that we move the students to other schools and things of that nature to absolve the entity that we exist. And perhaps maybe you might want to take another look over at our chartering procedures, which talks about what would happen. I think the last time we looked at talked about that was when we were going for a reaffirmation. So that's something that we might want to look at, you know, how we have to put a plan together to move the students out and things like that, because this building is part of our expenses that need to be resolved. We can't leave it with the state. But I'm sure the state's going to be the arbiter of last choice to take care of any existing or outstanding bills.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, given what happened with Mosaica, we can't really rely on the state anyway.
No.
But we were able to pay because we were still in existence and getting money from the state. We cut down and given faculty raises. We lost faculty and things like that. But we kept moving forward until we got to a better position to finally pay that off.
Yes, and in this case, the landowner would kind of be, you know, he'd be stuck basically because that reserve would have to be used first for teacher salaries, and then for other expenses would come second, third, fourth down the line.
He'd be stuck, but he'd be stuck anyway. There would be no money.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's the point he needs to understand. He's stuck no matter what.
Right. All right, well, we'll get on the phone with him tomorrow morning, and I will get back to all of the board members with Dr. Marinucci to figure out where we are. But we do want to move forward. We don't want to put this off much longer because we'll be talking about the charter expansion at our next meeting. So,
Camu, do we, as a board, we have to come back after the conversation takes place between you and Dr. Marinucci and the...
As long as you guys, in the past, what I've done is I've signed the lease. So if you guys are because it only takes one signature, you guys are comfortable with us doing that, then that's fine. That should be fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Good. I'm satisfied.
Yeah, I'm
good.
Okay.
I'm good. All right. Well, I will now entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A second.
Okay, it's been moved by Mrs. Robinson, seconded by Dr. E, that we adjourn our January 25th, 2021 special meeting at 6:32 p.m. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, we're off.